So for those of you keeping score at home, this is episode 5 of Blueprint for Living. So it feels long past time for me to go out on location. And how better to test my capacity for such things than with a taste test of one of the most controversial drinks of all time? We're talking, of course, about absinthe. If you think sugar has a bad name, spare a thought for the Green Muse. It's been blamed for mayhem, madness and murder, banned for generations and linked to some of the 20th century's most artistic bad behaviour. Has absinthe recovered from its checkered past? To find out, I wandered down to Bar Ampere in Melbourne's CBD. They run absinthe tasting events, so there's not much they don't know about the Green Muse. I'm not sure what time of the day would feel like absinthe time, but it's certainly not now. There's a distinct lack of dissolute Frenchmen around the bar, and no sign of Kylie Minogue dressed as a little green fairy. But Ben Luz is a man who I think is going to tell me that there's no bad time for absinthe. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, you were mentioning before that there is such a thing as an absinthe hour.
There is, yeah. It's the traditional time for drinking absinthe, le heure verte. For those that can't speak French, I can't speak French, but the small amount I do know is that that's called the green hour, and that's 5 p.m. every day. It's an aperitif hour. It's before dinner. You know, the French were big about drinking before they eat. So it really, absinthe does stimulate your stomach. So it's probably perfect time almost.
From what I understand, you're of the opinion that we're seeing something of an absinthe revival at the moment. Absinthe is back, and back in a big way. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely, yeah. We're really on the cusp of the new golden age, the new wave of absinthe coming through, because it's just been gone for so long. You know, the last golden age was the Belle Epoque, the turn of the 19th century. So it's been a long time coming, and it's definitely building.
I'm going to admit to a certain amount of prejudice about absinthe. I reckon I tried it once when I was at university, and wasn't quite what I was looking for, let's just say. But there's something a bit intimidating about it. There are stories about, you know, hallucinations and all kinds of fear attached to it. Why does it have such bad press?
That press goes back, you know, 130 years, and it's still being regurgitated today. I hear it over the bar, and it's things that people were saying back then to bring about its demise originally. Things like the hallucinations, which is a total fallacy. You know, they've done studies, the way the brain works, you know, not to be too dorky, but it works on the GABA inhibitors in your brain to stimulate your brain. So it's a stimulant. It's not a hallucinogen.
So it's embraced internationally, clearly. It's moved its way across Europe. Not so much outside Europe, though. Is absinthe made in Australia at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's been the connoisseurs and the absinthers have really picked that up, and distillers in Australia have been making absinthe for a little while, and there's some new ones coming around.
So talk me through, what characterises a really good absinthe? What do you taste in it?
The thing most people smell straight away, and they'll pull their nose back and say, oh, licorice, which there is none of in absinthe. There's licorice in pastis. When you're smelling an absinthe, the first smell, you shouldn't just get alcohol. If you just smell alcohol, that's a bad sign of any alcohol. The things in it are grand wormwood, fennel and anise. That's the holy trinity of absinthe. And they're the sorts of smells you should be getting.
All right, never let it be said that I'm not either a soak or a daring human being, but can you give me a taste?
Absolutely. So with our water fountain here, you've got your absinthe in the glass. You've got an absinthe slotted spoon and some sugar. So I tend to ask people to sip it first, just to try it and see what they think of how strong it is, how sweet it is.
I have to say, as soon as it poured out of the bottle, I was getting amazing smells out of that glass. Yeah, definitely licorice. See, I'm showing myself to be completely philistine
there. No, but absolutely. But, you know, most people will smell licorice straight away, but it's when you get your nose around it, you start smelling other flavours.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Oh, that really is something.
So that's all natural. So that's a little bit sweet, naturally sweet, all natural flavours, no colourings.
It is extraordinary how that bad press prevails, though, because really, honestly, I'm holding a glass of clear liquid, very delicate taste to it, could be a gin, could be a... I think that's a fair comparison. I was picturing some lurid green snot-like thing that was going to really do my head in. Is that a version of absinthe that exists, or is that just a complete fantasy?
So that lurid green absinthe is the one that most people know. There's two kinds of absinthe. There's blanc, which is white, and there's vert, which is green. So all absinthe will start off as a blanc, and then they macerate some other herbs into it to get that green. So if the green looks like it's come from a plant, the chlorophyll, you're a pretty good bet that it's going to be an okay absinthe, at least an okay absinthe. If it looks bright green or purple or blue and not from nature, you're guaranteed that it's got artificial colourings, artificial flavours in it.
I have to say, I was just quietly sipping while you talked, and the flavour was delicious, but I realised it's got a serious kick to it. Mm. What alcohol level is in this?
The clandestine is 53% alcohol.
Dear God. All right, there goes the rest of my day. That is slightly unfortunate. Perfect for a Saturday morning. No, not that. That's a bad idea. So now, Ben, what are you doing with the sugar? Because there's got a bit of sweetness to it already. I'm surprised.
So that's that natural sweetness. Like sometimes if you use anise in something, it has that, gives it a natural sweetness. So the classic pour that most people know is having a sugar cube on top of the slotted spoon, and you drip water through the sugar cube, and it turns into a sugar syrup and blends with the alcohol. So we're dripping water through
a sugar cube.
And you kind of want it as a drip, like that annoying, you're lying in bed and you've left the tap dripping in the bathroom and it's just annoying you enough that you want to get up and turn it off.
I can't help but think that if you've had a night on the absinthe, you haven't made it to bed. You're lying on the bathroom floor and the dripping's much closer to you. All right, so the sugar cube is almost entirely dissolved under the dripping of the water. And we're about to move the slotted spoon and I'm going to have another sip. Lord.
And if you smell it again, you'll notice the water has just opened up the alcohol, so you'll get all the more interesting flavours coming through, lots of different herbs and smells and layers coming in.
Mm. Oh, that's delicious. Oh, that's really nice. Mm. Oh, I could become an absinthe. So, tell me, I can see it working beautifully as an aperitif, I can see it beautifully as a kind of late in the evening sit and reflective. Does it go with food?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've found with a lot of anise-style things, fish works really well. So we've had it with, you know, salmon, just cured salmon. We've just realised that it works really well with cheese.
Surely a robust cheese, something smelly with this?
Yeah, you need a powerful cheese to stand up against it.
And also a powerful personal constitution to stand up against it, just quietly.
Yeah, or maybe lean up against it.
You know, with each sip, I think I'm closer to being able to speak French, which is a good outcome.
Yeah.
I am mindful that I'm tasting deliciously one of the 9 or so bottles that you've laid out, so I might turn the microphone off and allow you to keep introducing me to the absinthe. Thanks so much, Ben.
No worries. Thanks for coming in.
Delicious. I wouldn't swear to it, but towards the end of that interview, I think I may have been slurring a little bit. I take it as a badge of personal maturity that I didn't make an absinthe makes the heart grow fonder joke at any point. When I was talking to Ben Luz, he's from Bar Ampere. He's going to be hosting absinthe tasting sessions next week. That's from Thursday the 5th to Thursday the 12th of March. That's part of Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. And if you're looking for other evidence of the new Belle Epoque that we're entering, there is a show about absinthe that's touring the country until October. It's described as a cabaret show of circus, burlesque and vaudeville, so absinthe will be right at home there. Details are available on the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website.